It is a complete design, and so it's not like we're going to get into it and say, oh gosh, we forgot to add a lap sink in that corner, we're going to add, it's a very, very nice design. Now, will change orders occur? Yeah. A lot of times, when you get a really favorable bid, the change orders are something that we want, that's additional scope, because we actually have the money to do something, so.
How many people will work in there?
Current staff is at eight, and they're looking to grow to, don't they have new positions out in the next year or so?
Ultimately, it would be 12 to 15 people down the road.
Yeah.
So we're planning for, long-term, 30-year build-up.
Is it just an eight-hour shift, or do we run 27, 24, just 8 hours?
Plus, they sometimes have to come in on weekends to do certain tests.
And the plot plan, where's it located on the?
Oh, yeah, sorry, I could have shown that. Basically, it's, if you remember what the wastewater plant site looks like, there's the what we call T-West, thickened waste activated sludge building, T-West building on the east side of the property, and then we, as part of the current project, we built a maintenance building. It's located in between those two structures, on the east side of the
Northeast corner of the site.
Yeah.
So it's easy access from our main entrance down?
Yes, and it's kind of through this project and into, through the wastewater plant project and into this project, we're making some enhancements to the entry of the plant, and we're actually converting the south entrance as the main entrance. And we're going to kind of permanently lock off the gates at the north entrance, and that will be for emergency personnel only.
Okay.
A lot of that is driven because of the bridge over the ditch is pretty dangerous to try to negotiate a turnout.
Do we use Saunders Heath people?
I'm not aware. Is anybody aware that we've done work with Saunders?
Not Colin just issued something for him.
Yeah.
Brian, you had mentioned the pre-qualification process.
Yes. So like I had mentioned, we pre-qualified. We put out an SOQ out on the street, and we solicited this project. We had seven total, and then out of the seven total general contractors that submitted after we went through evaluation process and scoring, these four kind of rose to the top and were pre-qualified.
Sean, you have a question?
Yeah, could you go back to the very first slide? Last year I participated in the budget committee stuff, and I learned that vehicles are a very controversial subject. Are they part of the 4.3 million?
Vehicles are not.
Okay. So I'll make a motion that we approve.
Just for the record, that's Brian's truck. So it's got nothing to do with the contract.
1973.
Yes.
Now we are encouraging other communities to use our lab, aren't we?
It's my understanding that I guess we have the opportunity to invite other folks to utilize our services, yes.
And we'll charge accordingly.
Yeah,
well,
good.
Okay, I move to award the construction contract for the water quality laboratory to Saunders Heath in the amount not to exceed $4,310,492. In which the bid alternative is the basis of the award, and authorize the city manager to execute the contract on behalf of the city.
Is there a second?
Second.
Any more discussion? All those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Anybody opposed?
Aye.
All right.
That's right.
Yes.
Okay. All right. So the next item?
Yeah, we'll move on to the next item.
At the beginning of this item, I'll need to say that as an employee of HDR Engineering, I will be recusing myself from this item.
Okay.
Okay.
Should Dan leave, or does he stay here?
Here.
Okay.
So this is for additional design-based services with HDR Engineering. And this was driven through when we got to the 90% design milestone, obviously the city had the opportunity to make review comments through both the plans and specs. As a result of those comments, both from some great comments came back from city staff, both from a enhancement, project enhancement standpoint, and also some value engineering ideas. We made some additional changes along the way, and those changes equated into some additional scope that HDR was not originally scoped to do. And that's what drove the $40,000 add in this particular case. And just to let you know, that $40,000, we negotiated. They actually, and I have a copy here, they actually came back for these services at nearly $100,000, and I negotiated it down to the current $40,000. So I felt like that there was some scope there that they needed to absorb, and we came to an agreement. So this was kind of a happy medium.
Questions?
Was it Dan you talked to?
I was going for that truck.
Well, with Dan out of the picture here, I'll move that the commission approve the amendment of the contract for additional design services and selected engineering services during construction with HDR to increase the not to exceed amount to $801,576.
Well, that would be inclusive of the next item.
Oh,
sorry.
This
is the first piece.
Oh, okay. So you're not ready for the record.
No, I'm sorry. There's a second piece to this, and that's the services during construction for HDR to participate in those services that would be required upon them during the construction phase. This is set up very similar to how the current engineers on the wastewater plant operate, kind of that very selective scope in their court for services during construction. And then, of course, we've since contracted with Ditesco Services for the bulk of the day-to-day construction management. So this basically brings HDR folks in to review those selective RFIs that require their assistance, those shop submittals, attend the progress meetings, and some contract closeout activities as such.
Okay.
You see what happens when Dan's not available?
I know it. I know it.
So that's all. So the two added together get you to the 801.
In which case, I move that the commission approve the amendment to the contract for additional design services and selective engineering services during construction with HDR to increase the not to exceed amount to $801,576 and authorize the city manager to sign the change order on behalf of the city.
Okay, is there a second? Gene seconded. Any more discussion? Okay, all those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Anybody opposed? All right.
One abstention.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Brian. Staff reports. We've struck item number 8 and number 10, so we'll move on to number 9, 2018 water loss audit. Michelle?
Are 8 and 10 going to come back at some
point?
Yes,
they will.
Okay.
Okay. Well, this is the fourth year that we've worked on the water loss audit, and just as a broad overview of what the water loss audit does is it looks at how much water is going into our distribution system. We look at that as the volume that we produce from our own water treatment plant, as well as the water that we import in from neighboring water districts. That's considered the system input value volume. And if you can imagine, you have cups up here, so we're kind of pouring all this water into different cups, and we're accounting for where it goes. Each column is just progressively getting more detailed until we get to lumping them into either non-revenue or revenue water. But from the system input value, which is what's produced at the water treatment plant, what we import in, we take out the water that we export to neighboring water districts, and then we break it down to either what's considered authorized consumption or water losses. Authorized consumption is broken down into either whether it's billed or it's unbilled, and each one of those whether it's metered or unmetered. And then apparent losses are a portion of water losses. Those are the ones where the water gets to the end customer, but it's not billed or not fully billed to the customer. Then you have real losses. This occurs when there are leaks or system overflows. For apparent losses, it's comprised of three different categories. There's unauthorized consumption. That's theft of water. Someone tapping in, some stealing our water, hooking up to a hydrant illegally. Customer metering inaccuracies. We've got this water meter, and it doesn't always record accurately. They tend to slow down over time. So this is the amount that's, we estimate, is not being billed. Systematic data handling errors. That's anything that occurs from when the meter is read to when the customer is billed, that there was something that did not get recorded correctly, or there was a data entry error, something happened in there. We got those. Then we have lumped together revenue water versus non-revenue water. If we want to look at this in volumes, because this just breaks it out.
Before you go, Pat, can you go back to that slide for a second?
Yes.
So is this 2018?
This is 2018, the whole calendar year.
Quite what this says at the
top.
Carry over from the last year's slide. Okay.
The numbers are updated, yeah. But not the year at the top. Looking at the volume, when we look at what is billed and metered, that's that big yellow section. We've got 83%. Of the water usage that goes into the water distribution system is billed and metered. And what we're primarily focusing on is this bottom section here. We're trying to make this smaller and smaller and to account for that better. And so that's all those things that are not both billed and metered. And this year, rather than going through every category that's included in your packet in the write-up, what I'm going to focus on today is just talking about the things where we've found something out of the ordinary, or also kind of a report by exception, things out of the ordinary or improvements that we've made or problems that we've found. One of the areas in our source water, accounting for how much water goes into our distribution system, we've had a few incongruencies that we show looking at the water that comes from the water treatment plant, from the Big Thompson River or from the reservoir. We measure that going into the plant, and then we deduct out for evaporation and for the water that goes to decant ponds, and we're showing that we make more water than what goes into the plant. And this last year, which that does make us miracle workers, but this last year we inspected the line, or the meter that the line in the meter that comes from the river and goes to the plant. And we exercised the valve there, and we found that beyond where that first valve was, there was a lot of water coming into the plant, and we didn't know where it was coming from, and it shouldn't have been coming from. After some investigation, this is before it was treated, so after some investigation, we found out that it was actually from the decant ponds. There was a valve that had been open for I don't know how many years, but there had been water that had gone into the plant, gone out to the decant ponds, and was being recycled to the head of the plant. And we closed that valve. So that's part of the reason why we were making more water than what went. The other thing that we did is performed a drawdown test. We've performed one last year, and we performed one this year, and we're going to continue to try to perform these yearly. This is kind of the inside view of the Chastain's tank, and it has columns that go up. And what we do is we drop the level of the volume of water that's in that tank. And this is the finished water that goes into the distribution system. And we calculate the volume of that water as it decreases in the levels. And we found, based on the drawdown test, that the meter was over-registering what goes into our distribution system by 3.85%. And so adding those two together comes up with pretty close to what we think is the actual amount of water going in there. So overall, it was over-registering by 171 million gallons in 2018. Looking at our billed meter consumption this past year, I went through in more detail. I get every consumption read that's been done during the audit year, 1 month prior, and 1 month after the audit year. And there were a few that kind of stood out. We had a single family residential home that was using over 7 million gallons or 8 million gallons in a year, which is a lot of water. And I was talking to our water metering supervisor, and he asked me to take a look at those. And we found that although the customers were billed correctly, there were some errors on the utility billing clerk's side where they would input the values into consumption amounts inaccurately. And those primarily happened on when there was a final read for a customer, when there was a meter that was changed out and a new one put in. And there were also some meter reading, transmitting errors, and data entry errors. But primarily the big ones were sometimes there's a meter reading error, and it would be a really high consumption 1 month, and the next month it would be low when they went out. But you averaged the two together, and they averaged out just fine. Those, we just averaged the 2 months together, and we were good. But there were also ones where when they exchanged a meter, they accidentally put in the total amount that the meter had ever read of water going through it, rather than the consumption that had occurred since the previous month, which resulted in some really high 7 million, 8 million gallons. And the net effect was the 37 million gallons. So we'll be working with utility billing to try to correct those. And hopefully with the new customer information system, these types of errors will not occur. Right now, there's a lot of room for human error in the way that we do our paperwork. One of the other areas that we made improvements on is construction water. I found out this year from utility billing, when they send me all their consumption reads, it has not included construction water. And what construction water is when we have a new site where we're going to be providing water, we put an initial meter out there. They pay a flat fee at the building department for an allotment. And the allotment is based on the size of the meter. If they go under that allotment, they don't pay anything extra, and then when the meter is inspected and put into service, they continue to bill like normal. If they go over the allotment, utility billing starts billing from when they went over the allotment. But anything that went under the allotment in previous audits was not included, and was not included in the reports that utility billing provided to me. So we went through all those, and we found that there was about 500,000 gallons that occurred through construction water. So we'll be having that in the future audits.
The construction water is hooked up to fire hydrant?
No, construction water is hooked up to the actual meter, but it's before it's assigned to an actual customer before it's inspected at the end. So it's kind of that temporary. They've got the meter in, but it's not, the construction of everything is not completely done. They don't have the next area that we have some improvements, particularly this year, is that when we look at the water audit, we want to make sure that the water utility is made whole from other parts of the city, including the wastewater utility. We have certain customers that are only wastewater customers, certain customers that are water customers, and most of them are both. But we want to make sure each portion is paying their fair share. And sanitary sewer jetting is used to do high pressure water through the sewers to clean it out and to make it run more efficiently. That should be charged to the wastewater utility. And starting this year, we're doing quarterly interfund transfers between the wastewater utility and the water utility to make the water utility whole. And between 2015 and 2018, we've had between 3 million gallons and 12 million gallons used per year for this activity. So that'll be a good improvement that we have going forward. We did an audit of our facilities, lift stations, pump stations, tanks, to look at, do we have unmetered water usage, particularly irrigation? And we found two facilities in which we have unmetered irrigation. One's at the 29th Street pump station, one's at Namaqua Hills tank. And we do have plans to try to correct both of those by next year. One of them this spring for 29th Street, and the other one next year in conjunction with some other work that will be done up there. That's primarily where we have more water usage or suspect to have more water usage. We also looked at several of the lift stations and pump stations do have just like a hose bib on the inside. It's used very infrequently, once every few years, and staff determined it really wouldn't be worth our time, the effort, and the money to install meters at each one of these and to go out and read them. So we are aware of some of those, but we're not going to worry about tracking them down. One of the improvements that we've made is fire hydrant flow test that has now moved into its unmetered but billed category. We charge a flat fee for any fire hydrant flow tests. These are done primarily when people they're designing a building, they need to know what the fire flows are in the area. So we go out and we have staff time, and that flat fee is based on what our actual costs are, staff time collectively to to perform those flow tests and all the administrative costs.
That's different than flushing.
That is different than flushing. This is, it's like we're working with an outside company that they want to know what it is to design the fire sprinkler system in a new building or to size it correctly. One of the other things that we have now included in the audit is for fire pump tests. Fire pumps are required for certain buildings when the normal pressure that is in the water system by a hydrant would not be sufficient, either due to the size of the building, the height of the building. For some reason, it was not sufficient, so they have a fire pump to increase what that pressure is. And these fire pumps have to be tested annually, and they can use 30,000 gallons in one test or even more. I was able to go out to Group Publishing when they were doing the fire pump test out there. And each of these are tested annually. Sometimes it could be tested more, but we've estimated what the water usage is based on the pump's capacity. And so for 2018, we estimate about 140,000 gallons were used for the pump test. We also now include the initial fire sprinkler installations. There's a lot of water that's used when we first install a system. There's not a lot of water used afterwards, but they have to flush the lines. If there's any part of the system that has a leak, they drain the whole line and they redo it. So we are estimating that based on the building type and the square footage of the buildings that have sprinkler systems. All new buildings. Water meter testing. We are now testing annually for small meters. A sampling of our 3/4 inch, 5/8 inch, and 1 inch meters. Previously, we had only been testing the ones that were flagged for problems. Our medium to large size meters, I found some makes and models that did not have tests, but our meter folks said that they were supposed to be tested either every 5 years for medium size meters or every year for the large size meters. And as we looked into this more, trying to figure out why they're not showing up, there is a query error from IT. The way that they pull a report that shows us which meters need to be tested each year is not complete. And so I ended up going through and looking at every single meter that was 1.5 inch up to 6 inch and seeing when the last test was, if it was done. And based on that, we found that there were 286 meters of the 833 meters that were past due for testing. We're focusing now on the meters that have the highest consumption to go through those where we can and test those, and then we'll be catching up over the next few years on getting those medium and large size meters tested. Overall, for 2018, we estimate that we under-registered the amount of water that went to customers by 81 million gallons, and that's valued at about $604,000. Looking at water losses, both the apparent losses, water that gets to the customer but it's not billed or fully billed, as well as real losses, that's the water that leaks out of the system, we're seeing a decline in the amount of water losses, which is good news. We've had about 210 million gallons less water loss from 2015, or in 2018 as we had in 2015. So I think a lot of that has to do with the water line replacement projects that we've been doing, which we're showing some that it's paying off. Doing that. With the real water losses, we had a reduction of 133 million gallons from 2017 to 2018. We've been rehabbing and replacing the worst performing lines. We're employing leak detection equipment. And we have an infrastructure leakage index of 2.83. What that means is that there's a technical minimum of how much water is actually leaking from your system based on system pressures, the number of miles, and the number of connections on your system. And we're 2.83 times what the technical minimum is for that. And there is some of that loss is harder to find than others. There's always a little bit of background leakage that occurs, and you can't find the background leakage that is just little tiny drips or whatever from using acoustic measuring devices. But we are trying to find some using some acoustic measuring devices to try to find more of the larger ones. And just looking at the cost of non-revenue water, this just breaks down what the costs are by category. Unbilled, metered, very minimal. There's not very much there. We've got unbilled, unmetered, about 55,000. unauthorized consumption of water theft. This is, this we estimate based on just some default values that we received from the American Water Works Association, 81,000. Customer metering inaccuracy, 604,000. We're hoping that as we get more of those medium and large size meters tested, that will go down some. And systematic data handling error, 71,000. We use a default setting from AWWA. It's difficult to measure exactly what happens on those unless you have a large one that occurs in a year. And real losses at 489,000. So the total is about $1.3 million of the cost of our non-revenue water. And just as a looking at some of the large operational efficiency performance measures, if we look at apparent losses per service connection per day, we're estimating that for every connection that we have on the system, we're losing about 10.37 gallons based on either theft, metering inaccuracies, or the systematic data handling error. Something's going wrong from the time the meter's read to when it's billed. And real losses is at 44.2 gallons per service connection per day. And the real losses per service connection per day per PSI is about 0.68 gallons per connection. The current annual real losses, this is total amount of loss that's leaking out of our system. We're estimating that at 436 million gallons. And like we said before, the infrastructure leakage index is 2.82 times the technical minimum system loss. So we're trying to do this each year. We recently had a group from water metering, from I went, as well as Nathan from Water Resources, a representative from a couple representatives from utility billing, and from the meter reading group, that we went out to a water loss audit seminar that they had in Denver last week. And I think one of the conclusions I had from going to this training, we were kind of in the early adopters. There's a lot of utilities that have not done any water loss audits yet, but we've got four audits under our belt, and I feel like we're in a pretty good position compared to a lot of other utilities. We're still making a lot of improvements as we've gone on, but we've seen a lot of things that are billed now either to other utilities, to other departments in the city that previously had gone unbilled. And so I think doing the audit, we're making some good improvements. And that is all that I had on this reason.
I want to make a couple of comments before we get into questions. Hey, just a sec, Gene, if you don't mind. A couple of things. One, water utilities have been looking at water loss, which was what the common term used to be, for a long time. So when Michelle says we're an early adopter
of this methodology,
we're an early adopter of this particular methodology, which was only rolled out just a few years ago. And the sophistication and detail, going back to that very, very first graph that you had, or the illustration that you had, if you had looked at a water loss report 10 or 15 years ago, you would not have seen anything like that was that fine. And so it really is a much more sophisticated way of looking at what happens, that one, what happens to our water from all the way in to all the way at the end. And this is an approach that's been adopted by American Water Works Association under a completely revised manual of about 4 years ago, 5 years ago, and some international organizations. So it's a lot more rigorous than simply saying, I bring in 1 million gallons, I sell 900,000 gallons, I got a 10% loss rate, which was basically what was done back in more conventional times. So it's a lot more sophisticated. It lets us zero in on things like, gosh, we're not metering this water down at the wastewater plant, so we need to add some metering there. There's some non-metered irrigation water going into an HOA, not an HOA, but some area that the city owns, those types of things. So it really lets us zoom in on that multicolored section over there. So it's a pretty rigorous method. There are issues, and we refine them every year. And I also, just like last year, I want to really, really compliment Michelle on this whole program that she manages. It's difficult. It's challenging. She burrows down into this stuff and gets to the heart of the matter, and then gets on me to go get a meter put in somewhere, to talk to another department. But I really do want to congratulate her, that she does just an absolutely outstanding job. And every year, the refinements that she makes, working with our metering folks, with our operations folks, the numbers get better and better, the accuracy of the audit. And it is an audit. It's not just a water loss exercise, but it is an audit of what's happening to our water. So that's kind of the backstory, and really very sincere congratulations to Michelle and her work.
Thanks. Are there any questions that you have? Gene?
Do you feel like Parks and Recreation Department are adequately metering their water usage?
We do.
Yeah.
Yeah, there were just a few places that they could either be stormwater or Parks and Rec, but it was considered like a detention pond, and those are now metered and billed to the stormwater utility. But all the other areas have already been metered and billed. And there was a little bit of downtown watering that was occurring that previously had not been billed. We corrected that probably 3 years ago. We even installed a meter over at the train depot at North Lake Park. It was that where they washed their hands. That was not metered. It is now metered. It's not very much, but... But we are trying to correct those areas.
And my second question is, you know, with hydrant testing and things like that, there's a lot of water that goes into the storm drainage system. Can that be accounted for in augmentation that ends up in the river someplace?
I do not know that question, dear. Larry, or can... So the question is, the water that's used for hydrant flushing or testing, could that be used as part of like augmentation or get credits back for all that water that's going into storm sewers?
We were talking about that in our group just a few days ago, and I think, honestly, that's going to be a use of the water, first use of the water, and that's probably going to have to come back to the river. But we thought we would come back to that after the season's over and spend some time on it and see if we can get some of it.
Yeah.
I'm not real optimistic that that's
going to be a reasonable
source.
That is a use.
Yeah.
And that's what kind of changed. It's not a, it's a real life use. It's a very practical use. We just got to have some comments on that later on.
And we have a pending application to quantify our reusable water. And I plan to talk to our outside consultants, the attorney and engineer, about this use. But I think our thought, with so many things going on, was... The hydrant flushing has occurred this spring, so Larry even put it on our calendars already for January, so that we can prepare for like an April or May flushing, and maybe we could set up, get the water commissioner's approval to look at, you know, if we're flushing 33 acre feet and 1/3 of that is reusable, we've got 10 acre feet as credit in the river that we can.
Yep.
So.
Yep. I know there's a significant quantity of water that goes in system flushing and things like that.
Yeah.
Goes back into river.
Steve?
Maybe I was too busy looking at the slides, but could you elaborate on what's unauthorized consumption?
Unauthorized consumption, unauthorized versus like water losses unauthorized consumption?
Yeah. That's
water theft.
11 million gallons.
That's water theft.
How
so
they
that.
Do that?
They could bypass the meter.
I can tell you that.
Well, no.
We're going to have to check.
I'm using too much water in the line.
It could be someone that illegally hooks onto a fire hydrant. Normally in the city, when we have anyone using a fire hydrant, they need to use a hydrant meter, and then they connect past that, and it has a backflow prevention device. So that could occur. It could be someone that's bypassing the meter at their house. They dig it up, and they're a plumber, and they put a pipe on.
Yes,
they can do that, yes. And or someone taps into the water main or does something, but it's some type of water theft where they're getting the water without paying for it. And that one is based on just AWWA has a default value saying that's representative about that amount. Unless you know specifically of a large theft that has occurred in water and you can estimate it, we generally will just use the default setting that they have on that one.
I would think if you have a home that normally gets a bill and all of a sudden their water goes to zero.
And we go out and check those. Sometimes there's a stuck meter that the meter will just, it's not measuring even though the water's going through. And at that point we have we'll go out and check those. But if there still continues to be water usage, you know, it's not flagged.
And anytime we think we can prove it, we turn it over to the police.
And the metering inaccuracies, that's a big number, 81 million gallons. Is that here?
So that would be all of the water meters that are out there. What we've done is we've looked at what the meter test results are for each make, model, and size of those, and we look at the past 5 years of history. And then we looked at what actually occurred in the field in 2018 of how much water went through similar make, models, and sizes of meters, and we applied those test results to the volume that went through and to figure out what this amount is. So water meters tend to slow down the longer that they're in service.
And so
even though you have 100 gallons that's going through, it might only be registering 98 gallons or 97 gallons. Yeah. But that's why we have a meter testing program where we're continuing to go through and test them and either rebuild them or replace them when the value is too low.
And even under the standards, there is an allowable range. So it's not, they guarantee that it's accurate, but it's not 100%. There's a plus or minus range on there. And that accounts for about less than 2%. So that's not bad from an accuracy from a meter standpoint, plus or minus 2%. So that's not out of range.
Yeah. Okay.
That's the manufacturer's standard on the meters?
I don't know off the top of my head. They would vary, but they're under the AWWA has standards for all different types of meters, and in that they will talk about the accuracy.
Because that's his sheet.
That's
right?
That sheet that determines it.
Okay, so overall we're measuring slightly under. Mm-hmm.
Generally, we try not to bill people for more water than what they use. If there's a fault, yeah.
I have a couple of questions. How do you quantify the amount of water used for flushing?
For flushing, what we do on that is we look at what the rates are, like the length of time that it's being open and the pressures, and we have a system value that just, they put some inputs in and estimates the volume
so
of that.
The guy on the truck that I saw out there, he's taking track of the time he's got that valve open.
Yep, so they turn that in to the water operations supervisor, and he inputs for every hydrant flushing or even water main break, how much we're estimating the amount of water that's lost from each of those.
And then a second question on, let's see, is this the, I'm looking at the cost of non-revenue water, this slide here.
Okay.
In the real losses there, you indicate that you're using the value that's based on
the variable production cost.
But it includes some component for delivery, not just what you put into the...
So unit. It's to treat and deliver the next unit, to deliver it into the distribution system, whatever those costs are. So it's like source of supply, what the water resources costs are to get the water to the plant, as well as any treatment costs, and then just to the point of where it enters the distribution system, just beyond the Chastain's tank.
Okay.
That we showed.
Thanks.
Larry?
This was really a great report first. It took a long time for me to digest it. First, I went back, and I'm looking on page 123 of that, I went back and tried to reconcile when we get on the financial report. Don't go to page 123.
Oh, there's going to be discrepancies.
You've discovered a lot of stuff, so the numbers on the financial report are coming in too high by 4% or more.
They would be coming in too high because there's not any meter accuracy. The other thing is it doesn't have the adjustments for tank volumes. We've got, our tanks can hold, 22 million gallons? 20 million gallons. And so the height of those can be different from one year to the next, and so you've got to account for those differences as well.
You detail that out, right? So hopefully, are you going to help Jim get better numbers?
His numbers are based on just the financial period. This is different.
So for the gallon.
And we're looking at even any consumption that occurred partway out of the audit year and partway in the audit year. I'm dividing that consumption for each customer by the number of days in that period and figuring out what portion of the days we're in the audit period and doing a weighted average. So it's going to be different than what Jim has.
The well, there lots of good things. So one, number one, this was amazing to me also on the accuracy of that. The other one that I'm still having trouble getting my arms around, because this is on page 141, a system design life of 100 years. That's not actually what our average ages of pipes are. That's just an example of if we put everything in and it's 100 years old, what it would cost us to replace or then prorated by it for 100 years.
Yeah, that would be for 10 or, I think some of the new pipes we're putting in, isn't that the estimated design life?
What are some of the new PVC pipe we're putting in the last 100 years?
The last what?
The last 100 years,
yeah.
That's the...
So these numbers, I decided, are kind of misleading on what we're budgeting. These are way too high compared to what we're budgeting. I'm not sure what to keep up to not let it get worse, but to gain on the leaks. Maybe more, because I noticed that in the last, I think another one of your reports on 100 miles of lines, in the last 13 years we've got 20% water lines on.
Yep.
And those are all going to be, I mean, there should be no maintenance there, right?
True. I think the goal of the industry is to try and get to 1% replacement a year at some point. Thinking 100-year design life, the hard part everywhere, not just here, is that most of our existing infrastructure is not lasting 100 years. So it's we're working that direction here amongst other places too.
Okay.
Yeah, because things are failing faster than we want to replace.
The other thing that surprised me on the performance indicators from page 141, I really thought a lot of those were maybe lower than they should be. I'm so and when you gave us our overall score of 65 out of 100, did you just average each one of those, or did
no? There's a program that AWWA has, and they weight all of your, so every single input value that's put into this audit is weighted by how sure we are, how accurate it is, and then they look at the volume that goes, the amount of water that goes into each one of those input values, and they do a weighted average to get that 65.
Were you surprised that we were 65?
No, we've been right around 64 to 65 for the last 4 years. And that's, they want you to be accurate as to what your system is. It's better to not inflate your numbers, but to say, here's what we could do. And so I put down, listed on there, all the, what we would need to do to improve or to maintain that rating. And
because a lot of this is back again of getting away from that 8, 10, 12, 15% number that used to be focused on, looking at the process that we do the audit and the accuracy of the numbers. And so you get graded as much on accuracy as you do on the actual gallons or acre feet off. It's a process, and I think it's a good process.
Good report.
Yeah, so impressive.
Do you have time to do anything else?
I sure try. Well, thank you.
Thank you.
I'll let you do it.
Okay, commissions and council reports. Steve, you want to start out?
It'd be easy. I don't have anything that I can think of that would be of value to you.
Okay. Stephanie, you want to start?
I don't have anything tonight.
Sean?
Nothing to add.
All right, this is easy here.
I was talking with one of the managers with Parks and Recreation this last week, and he had some sort of indication of the fill rate at Lake Loveland, and it looks like it's going to fill a little slower than we thought, but it will fill. But they are expecting some additional water down in Boyd Lake and things like that will drop it a little bit, but it was looking very favorable.
Good. Yeah. Notice there's water in the ditch going out to the lake level. Yeah.
Yep.
Rain
ditches are all in the...
Well, I have two comments. Traditionally, when we get these, I ask some poor staff person that's standing up there some random question to see if they can answer. So I gave everybody a break today. And the second thing is with the raw water study, I guess I've been concerned for a while with the 4-acre-foot credit for the CBT. We've gone back and forth, what, 3 or 4 times. It bothers me, I guess, when we look at how the droughts are working out, that maybe that secondary drought is just not going to get that delivery though.
Our modeling last time, Randy, is showing a lower number. So I think it will come with a recommendation for a change, most likely. How far you want to go is, you know, something that can be discussed. It's under 1.
So I think when I first got here, I think it was 0.7. It's now like, yeah.
If you look at the city's history over the years, it's been 0.7 and 1. And for a while, it was 0.6 or 0.7, depending on what kind of development you were doing. So there have been a history of numbers, but what we've got to do here is figure out what do we really expect to get now when we really need it. That's what matters, is that dry year.
I'll look forward to that. That's all I have.
Okay. Well, I, along with several others in this room, attended the Tri-Cities Water Board's meeting about 2 weeks ago at the Embassy Suites, and I wanted to compliment staff on pulling together a really excellent event.
Yeah.
And also compliment our keynote speaker, the demographer.
State demographer.
State demographer. That was very, very interesting and good presentation.
Yeah, Larry, good job.
Congratulations, Larry.
Yeah. I will, even though she was not there by virtue of some other circumstances, Courtney was the one that pulled all that together, and I think you were the one that bird-dogged suggesting the state demographer.
Yes.
Yes. We've had some other folks in the city and in the department that have seen her at other functions and raved about her, and I found that kind of hard to believe, thinking of demographics, you know, a good presentation. Come on. I thoroughly enjoyed that presentation. It was magnificent. And she was funny, a very pleasant dinner companion, just a really marvelous woman. So, yeah, thank you, Courtney.
Seeing the numbers, I mean, you can see the numbers, but have someone stand there and tell you what that means.
Yeah, she was great.
Along that, did I hear her right that she said Colorado is the 6th highest, is it average home price in the country?
It's 5th or 6th, something like that.
Yeah, I think it was.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, by the way, if anybody wants that, we do have that presentation. If anybody would like that, we can get it out to you. I thought it was pretty interesting. Get that to you.
What's that?
Send to me.
What's that? I will when I get it from Hope, because I don't have it.
I'll get it.
Sure.
I have it.
Oh, good. Okay.
Tom, are you there?
I am. I don't have anything.
Okay. All right. Okay. Well, I was just going to ask how the solar bees were doing out on the reservoir.
I'll provide that update right now, if that's okay with
you. Yeah.
Okay. We, over the winter, we don't pay a lot of attention to the reservoir. We'll see what's going on up there. But starting here just a couple of weeks ago, our water quality laboratory staff do more aggressive testing on the lake and monitoring of the lake, especially looking at obviously at the algae counts and at any jasmine levels. They do this so we can alter the treatment process to match up with what we see, also the intake gate from the reservoir. Those have started now. I think I just saw the second or third one. Things are very stable. There is some algae, but there are no problems. So far, not just the solar bees, but the whole process that was put together a couple of years ago, the whole program seems to be working well. We will keep our eye on those, and we'll have some updates on some other activities associated with that in the coming months. So, still good news.
And we were, did I hear you tell us that we were going to have a pipe from Charles Hanson Canal into to the filtration plant directly, bypassing the reservoir in case there was an outbreak of.
That's one of the updates I'll have when we decide exactly what we're going to do. But yes, there are existing pipes that remain from the construction of the reservoir. They just need to be connected at either end, one up to a source and the other end to the plant itself. There are about four alternatives for that, with varying costs and varying degrees of difficulty of construction. We'll be starting to look at that Friday, and we'll be coming back in the coming months and give you an update on that. That adds another bit of flexibility to bringing raw water into the plant. I think it's going to be well worth the cost. Okay, a couple of things. First, I want to thank all of our representatives for being there at the budget discussions, Tom and Larry, for the budget discussions. The budget process for this year is going very well, and again, that's primarily thanks to Jim Lees and all of his staff. So we're well into that process. As was mentioned earlier, we've just completed our flushing program, and that's a very useful technique that's used by utilities to keep their pipes clean, prevents dirty water issues when you've got fire flows or if you've got some kind of change in flow direction. They had a very successful one, and they were able to do it a little bit more aggressively this year because we had such a good water situation, and they were able to really get down and get that get those materials out of the pipe. So we're going to be having a pizza party on Friday for all the guys, for all the OT and stuff. And finally, I wanted to point out your lovely welcoming gift, not a party gift. This was put together by Tracy Houston and her staff in customer relations. And I think it's very, very, and this is the fact sheet. Before, that was just on a single sheet of paper. Contains basically the same type of information, but I think the graphics and the presentation are going to make this far more attractive, and I think we're going to get a lot more mileage and attention to it based on this format. So thank you to Tracy and her staff for putting together this very, very unique presentation of the good stuff that this utility department does.
This appeals to engineers slightly.
Yeah. It appeals to old engineers.
Engineers of a certain age.
Yeah, old engineers. And that's all I have, Mr. Chair.
Okay. All right. Is there anything else that we have?
It's very cool.
All right, we're adjourned then.
Very cool.